And hope your Monday morning is going well. Tana no ako through the Ministry of Education 10-week Pacific Parent Education Program that equips and empowers parents, families and communities with skills, knowledge and confidence they need to champion their children's education. Each week on Pacific Breakfast, our two expert and passionate educators will take us through a new topic. Tana no ako will also be presented on each of our language programs by affluent Pasifika speakers. It's a warm welcome back to our amazing educators, Carl Vassal, Principal, Rowandale School, Manurewa, and Sinapi Taiao, whānau head, maths teacher, Nainai College, Lower Hutt. As always, please write your questions down in the comments for the team to answer. Thank you so much. Whakatei tele lava, Carl and Sinapi. We'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, a vea ia le nei awa noa, whātalo whāloa i atua i le mamalu le au whafonga i lunga o le ala leo, ko nisi fwoi o loo mawhai ona mai mua mai e ala i lunga lupenga tā whailangi. Tā alofa, tā alofa lava, mā lo le soi fua ma le maua. Ki o rana, mā lo le lei, nisa bulu inaka, mā lo ni, whakalofa lahi atu. One Pacific greetings to you all and happy Samoan Language Week. Tā alofa lava, Carl.
Talofa mumu lava to fatalofa le PM le malu talofa everybody. Wow, what a jam. You're very fluent in your Samoan language, hey? Oh man, at my street in Grey Lynn, we kind of just learn English. And then I always admire young people who can speak Ngangana Samoa or Whakaniue or any Whakatonga, any of your mother languages. And it's so important because if you look at the theme, you know, prepare yourself for the gift of your travels. When you're going on tour anywhere around the world, hey, one of the things Kiwis do is they look for the Pounamu or the Greenstone. But we should also listen to the people's language and look at the shape of their nose and all these different things that give away that they're Samoan. But I'm very proud of you down in Noa Hutt. What's the weather like down there, miss?
Oh my goodness, it is just pouring down over here. You know, the skies are crying. It's crying because it's Samoan Language Week. And, you know, as all sorts of people, we times like this, we get together, you know, we have huge gatherings to celebrate, but unfortunately we can't really do that. But there are ways around it. Yeah. There are definitely ways.
It's going to be interesting too. We've got a virtual opening ceremony today that has already been filmed. And so usually all the kids gather outside and we watch the flag raising ceremony. So today, all we do is push play at 10 o'clock and we watch this opening ceremony, which will be really, really cool. I think Samoans have to move into the times. And as the Prime Minister of Samoa have said, you know, some people are lost underneath rocks sometimes. So, yep, come into the real world. So, yeah. What have you got planned for today for your Samoa Language Week?
Well, it's quite low key here at school this week. I mean, you know, we've all just come back last week, so I'm sure we have Samoan language classes here, so they've got a program put together. Yeah, we're not sure about, you know, the sharing of food, if that is allowed, you know, health and safety. So the least we could do is just wear our, you know, Samoan attire. So I'm wearing this puletasi, as you can see, and that matches my yellow set.
Well, I told you already, I had a malfunction with the e whaikanga this morning, and then when I did wear the e whaikanga that fit, the shirt didn't work because it wasn't ironed and I was in such a rush. So I just wore my skin, which, you know, gives away and what's inside my heart, you know.
Exactly.
I'll jam as much Samoan today as possible. I'll put on my ulangifo or my ulafala later on and walk around and feel like the chief. But yeah, but anyway, what do we do? Oh yeah, sorry about that. Right. Tana no ako. Welcome back, guys. This is week 6. Can you believe it? We've been joining you for 6 weeks now, sharing a little bit of our knowledge. And this week is a little bit connected to what we did last week. And it's about... the heading is careers and vocational pathways. It sounds pretty flash and, you know, careers and all those vocations, not vacation, vocation. And so Sinapi's going to give you a little definition of what careers means.
Yeah, so I guess a career is an occupation, but you are in that occupation for a significant period of time. And there is also opportunity for you to progress, I guess, so go up the ranks, climb that ladder. For example, a teaching career. You know, you might start off as a first year, second year teacher, and then as the years progress, after 2 years of the mentoring program, you become a fully registered teacher, if all goes well. And then there's opportunity to become like a pastoral leader, like a dean, or an expert curriculum leader, so like a head of department or a head of faculty. And then if you are amazing, like our brother Carl here, you know, you can progress into the SLT role. So you've got assistant principals and deputy principals, and then you've got principal, like our brother Carl.
Thanks, mate. And I suppose too, vocational is about when you're at school and you're going through your journeys, and then you think, I'm really good at this, or I like doing this. Most people would start to build their skill and their knowledge around a certain area so they know they could follow that pathway when they get there. So a good example is, say, for example, you're really good at looking after others and caring for people, putting a plaster on someone. And some person might think, oh, I'd like to look after people when I get older. So there's so many different vocations you could go down and train for. To get down that pathway of caring for others and caring for people. Some people love using their hands, and so they could easily go, right, when I get older, I want to be a builder, I want to be a farmer, I want to be an architect, I want to dance, you know, all these different things. And in order for you to turn it into a vocation, you need to, like Sanapi said, be in it for a long, you know, period of time, but also do some preparation before you get there. Because sometimes when we look at vocation, it's about a choice. And some of us look at others and go, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you only see it as a job, or you see it as a short term. But for some, it's that passion, that fire within them that keeps growing and wanting to be, you know, forward. So I can remember my first ever job. And my first ever job was a butcher boy. And I was, what was I, maybe 14, and I used to go in on afternoons, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'd clean all the butcher equipment, and I would sand down the board that they used to cut all the meat, and you know, and at that stage there, I thought, oh, is this me? And if I liked, you know, being a butcher, what I would then do is, if I wanted to turn that into a vocation, I would then start to study or become an apprentice or build myself around people who knew exactly where I'm going with this. Then I would invest my time, then I would get my family in there. And if you're going down a vocation, I think you need to celebrate it sometimes and tell people, this is my dream, this is what I want to do, because it also helps. What are some of the little vocations you've been on your journeys down there, Miss Sanapi?
Yeah, my first job was when I was maybe an intermediate. That was the paper run. So we did my brother and I did the paper run for a bit. But I guess my first real job was KFC. Ooh. Yeah, I was a crew member. And I remember clearly I only got paid $5 an hour, but that $5 was amazing. making it rain. Just like today. But so you know, obviously you've got to start somewhere and get some work experience. And for myself, I was able to work in an environment with a team. I developed my customer service skills, because I was really shy when I was young, and I wouldn't go up and talk to people if I didn't have to. So that really helped build my confidence, and also money handling as well. Like, I mean, maths was okay for me, so I was just able to, you know, without having to put it in the register, I was able to just like give the change just like that on the top of my head. Yeah.
Good. So you know when someone shortchanged you or stolen from your piggy bank.
Yeah, yeah.
You've done this, Dr. Scrooge McDuck. But I think one of the things too that vocation is also linked to is that that religious significance, where vocational calling is what they usually call it, where people are called to a vocation, to the priesthood, or to become a whaifeau. And you see it as this is your journey because it's laid out for you by the word of God, or by, you know, the messages you're hearing or the feelings you're hearing from God. And if, and for some people, and some of our young people, they see it that way too. So say, for example, KFC. When you look at KFC, it's not that she's called to a vocation in KFC. Senapi may have been called to that job because she wants to be in hospitality. And hospitality is a certain area. So she could have been vocationally called there. Start out KFC, work her way up. Next minute, she's producing and CEO of the company that produces the chicken for KFC. You know, that's how those people go up. Teresa Gatting is one of my ultimate heroes in life. And she was the first CEO, woman CEO of Telecom. And one of the teachings she taught me, well, she didn't teach me, but I read, was that she wasn't afraid to hire people that were better than her at certain jobs. And I think that's important because sometimes certain people can do things better than you. And unless you're willing to empower others and surround yourself with people that can do the job as well as you, I think that's important. So that vocation inside, that inner calling. Once upon a time, I was called to be a Marist brother. And I trained as a Marist brother, and I did what they call aspirancy, postulancy. I was a novice, all those different things. And I thought that was where I was going. But most of the time, sometimes even, vocations may change and they may veer off. And so you might go, your son might say to you, this is where I want to go when I get older, Mum. I want to be this. And if he changes or she changes, don't destroy the world, because that's what's happened. So you could easily have multiple vocations in life. But when you finally hear that word of God or that understanding of, oh, this may not be the where I'm going at this time, then you can adapt and you can change that. The ultimate is just living a happy life and providing for yourself and your family and, you know, for the necessities. Have you had a vocational change before, Senapi?
Vocational change?
Were you always wanting to be a teacher?
Well, I guess I mentioned last week that, you know, my pathway to teaching wasn't straight. I knew I wanted to travel. I just knew I wanted to travel. So the JET program was the stepping stone towards, I mean, I got to go overseas, you know, to Japan, but I was teaching. So in a way, it was steering me into the teaching career pathway without me really planning for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then my love for teaching just grew from there.
Yeah. It's important, eh, that we need to surround ourselves with people that are going to understand where we want to go. So can you share, because you shared last night, we did our little planning meeting, what you did with your kids when you returned, because, you know, you're a maths teacher. So you're supposed to be writing 10 plus 10 equals 20 on the board and getting the kids to do those. But what did you do last week?
Yeah, so I thought it was important just to focus on our, you know, my students' well-being first and just reconnect, see where they're at, because we've just had 2 months off, 8 weeks off, and I thought it would be quite, it would be too much just to go straight into it, you know, without any kind of, because we've had that time away from each other, despite like building a relationship last term and leading up to the lockdown. So what I did was we have what we call circle time. So we ask them questions and we go around the circle to share. And, you know, if you don't want to share, then you can pass. But it's just we're creating that safe space. And our focus is about whakawhanaungatanga. So really building, yeah, those relationships again. And so I spent a bit of time doing that. And then I talked about, well, my lockdown and how I created a vision. It was a time for me to reevaluate my life and see where I'm going. So I showed them what my vision board looks like, what I aspire to have by the end of this year in 5 years' time. And so as a task, I got them to create a digital vision board, because I think it's just important just to again, set those goals and refocus now that we're back at school. So for my seniors, I said, if it's NCA level 3, you know, with merit endorsement, write that, type that out and have it there on your vision board so you can clearly see that. And it will just be in your subconscious mind, you know, that that is my goal for this year. And also they, like some examples, they had like the Victoria University banner or the Otago University banner. They had pictures that represented what they wanted to study and what they wanted to become. So there was like the police force there. There were pictures of a farmhouse. You know, I said, dream big. Don't be afraid to dream big because it's possible. Yeah. So that was my task for last week. Yeah, don't tell my boss.
But I think it fits perfectly in this age. So kids, if they can see their dreams. So as a family, if you sit around with your kids and you just give them all a piece of paper and you say, right, I want you to represent your vision for the future. I want you to make a vision board. Now you can do it digitally or so forth. So I know you were saying that some kids drew a picture of the light of their of a driver's license.
Yep,
that's really right. Important. If you want to go down a vocation in life, you need a license. You need to get there. You can't always ask your cousin to pick you up and drop you off, or you can't always do that. You know, I know a lady who lives in Wellington and she's quite prominent, and her name rhymes with Araline Areco, and so she. She didn't drive until she was in her 40s. And then all of a sudden she goes, I'm sick of getting driven around. I want to learn how to drive. And then she now, that lady never stays home. And she drives everywhere. And I've just got used to sitting in the car with her. But I love her to death. So, you know, driver's license. You could also put in there, I want to, you know, do some English, some subjects. And it's so important that these visions, and you know and I know, it's going to be that, Our young people need teachers, need friends, and need family that are going to support them on this journey, not be critical or stressed about it and provide those resources. How important is it for secondary kids to have those around them when they're doing these things?
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, you know, we may think that they know, well, some kids don't even know, you know, what they want to do. So if we're able to guide them along that way, then eventually, yeah, they will have some idea. Like usually I tell my kids, just have options, you know, because you never know. Don't sell yourself short. Don't think, oh yeah, I'm only going to do this, this and this. You know, it's important to have lots of options because it is normal to change your mind along the way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not failure, eh? How do people learn how to catch a ball? You have to be able to drop it. And in order for you to drop it, then you'll know and learn from, listen to me, All Blacks, you know, targets up, all those things. You have to learn from failure. And I think that's one of the hardest things because our Pacific people, we invest 100% in a lot of what we do. And if there is failure, it's very hard for some to come back from that. But, you know, if we had a calling, a vocation to be a parent in this world, we have the obligation to invest our time, our patience, invest patience and support in our kids. Because if we want to see New Zealand succeed, if we want to see our people succeed, especially in this week's Psalm 1 Language Week, preparing yourself a gift for your travels, you know, prepare yourself. Oh, we want them to travel like UA to Japan and all of those Asian countries and just see the world. Wow, that's us. That was a good one. That's a nice one. It leads us quite nicely. Anything else you want to add, my friend, and Nai Nai?
No, I think we've pretty much summed it up. I mean, you know, again, parents, like Carl mentioned before, just take the time to... you know, hash these out with your children and also make the most of the deans, teachers and careers advisors that will be able to give you a bit more guidance and information. And there's also websites available, right? Is our Talanoa Ako app up?
Not sure.
Okay.
We'll put it in the comments later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things too that I'll finish with is that some of our people are very humble. And to go and say, oh, your uncle's a doctor, but, you know, he's busy. You know, and for us to go and get alongside our people and to share in that success is vital. The world that we live in now needs really positive role models and people to give back. And so why I'm on the show, like I said at the start, and I know Sanapi said the same thing, we're here to share and to help. That's it. Not here to show off or show how flash our knowledge is, because our knowledge is very sparse compared to so many wonderful people out there. One lesson I was taught once was at my nana's funeral. She passed away. She was 79, I think. They were calling people up to the front table. A Samoan tradition where you acknowledge the wonderful, the amazing people that turn up to a function and you acknowledge them by putting them at the front. And they called out this lady, Mrs. Fepulia'i, and she was sitting out there and she stood up, and I didn't know this. She stood up and she goes, in Samoan, oh, with respect, there are so many more deserving people in this room that can sit at the front. I will, you know, turn it down. Later on, I found out she was 96 years old. If you're 96, you can sit anywhere you want. You know what I mean? And that lesson just taught me massive things about that, you know. So get around people like her and learn these things. Sometimes the subtleness of what they say, you will learn from. How many people are going to say no to you? Learn from it. How many people are going to laugh at your dream of your vocation? Learn from it. And take it and champion it. How many people laughed at us sometimes, Sanapi, in our lives? Our brand. They're laughing at us. They doubted us. But you learn from it and you grow. Mm. You surround yourself. Yeah. Vocations. It's a calling from God. It's a real calling. I believe I was called. So that word, vocation and pathway. Next week, we're going to be talking to you about literacy. So if you have this vocation in life where you want to be a racing car driver, or you want to be in hospitality or in computing, you need skills. And so next week, we're going to talk about the vital skills you need, especially in relation to literacy, because this is one way parents can support. This is one way teachers can support. And this is one way you can support each other. So I'll leave the final words in Ngangana Samoa Whaftaiti Lava to my sister, who will finish off our show today. And in the beautiful language of my mother, I'll just jam one little line. Olotina o April Ngari Agnes O'Dwyer. Isa o maile nuu o vai lima wawala.
Yeah, whaftai tele lava, mole nei a vanoa, ia manuia tele, le vai asa le Ngangana Samoa, soi fua mai ia manuia.